If you're like me, you've probably heard the buzz about sourcing from Vietnam, right? But maybe there's that little voice kind of whispering, can they really hit the precision, the quality that the US market demands?
It's a really common thought, a natural skepticism almost.
Yeah, exactly. You picture these complex parts, super tight tolerances, and then you think, well, can offshore truly deliver without cutting corners somewhere?
It's a fair question based on maybe older perceptions.
Well, you're definitely not alone if you've had that thought. Our mission today for this deep dive is basically to tackle that question head on.
Let's do it.
We're going to pull back the curtain a bit and really investigate how sourcing custom metal parts from Vietnam, well, it's not just about cost anymore. It's becoming about a rapidly maturing industry.
One that can, and this might surprise some folks, not only meet, but often exceed U.S. quality expectations.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Think of it like we're detectives piecing together the evidence. It seems to boil down to like three critical areas, three things you absolutely must get right.
Three pillars, basically.
Yeah, pillars. Good word. We're
Yeah.
talking about picking the right partners, the ones with the right credentials, the certifications.
Crucial first step.
Then being crystal clear on your specs, and I mean crystal clear, no ambiguity.
None whatsoever. Assumptions are the enemy here.
And finally, this is huge, never ever skipping those vital inspection stages. Never.
Non-negotiable, really.
So, by the end of this deep dive, our goal is that you don't just have vague answers. We want you to have a clear roadmap, a blueprint for sourcing confidently, getting that high quality from Vietnam.
Sounds like a plan. Where do we start?
Well, thinking back to when I first started looking into Vietnam, honestly, my biggest hurdle wasn't just finding factories, it was that nagging question. How do I know? How do I know this factory genuinely has solid quality systems? How do I verify it beyond, a firm handshake and a promise?
Right. Talk is cheap, especially across oceans. You need proof.
Exactly. Taking their word for it just feels too risky when you're thousands of miles away. You need something tangible.
And that's a perfectly natural and frankly essential concern for any buyer. But here's what's really insightful and often a surprise. A lot of Vietnamese manufacturers don't just talk quality. They actually hold a whole suite of internationally recognized certifications.
Okay, so not just local stuff.
No. Global benchmarks, hard-won, rigorously audited credentials. Think the foundational ISO 9001 that's your general quality management system standard, known everywhere.
Right, the baseline.
Exactly. Then you've got ISO 14001 for environmental management. Shows they're eco-conscious, which matters more and more.
Definitely. Ethical sourcing is huge now.
And for specific processes like welding, there's ISO 3834, absolutely vital if you're doing structural steel or pressure vessels. You can't compromise on weld quality there.
Makes sense. Safety critical.
But here's where it gets even more interesting, showing their maturity. You're seeing specialized certifications now, like IATF 16949.
Oh, the automotive standard. That's notoriously tough.
It is. And they're achieving it. Also, ISO 13485 for medical devices. Think about the precision needed there.
Life or death, potentially.
Literally. So these specialized certs, they're not just fancy badges. They are real, quantifiable markers that Vietnam is shifting. It's not just cheap labor anymore. It's about competing globally on quality.
That really challenges the old stereotypes, doesn't it? It signals a deep commitment to adopting global best practices.
It absolutely does. It shows they're integrating these standards into their core manufacturing DNA.
So, translating that for you, the buyer, these certifications mean you're looking at a company with a systemic, auditable approach. It's about consistency.
Right. It's a system, not just a one-off good sample.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate, though. We see the certificate, it looks valid. What's a subtle red flag, something you might miss if you only look at the paper, to ensure that commitment is real, not just, skin deep?
That's a really sharp question because certifications are your starting point, absolutely critical, but you need to probe deeper. A keen eye looks for how they actually integrate these systems day to day.
Okay, like what?
Well, do they just talk about the ISO process, or can they actually show you? Can they pull up real-time audit trails, show you corrective action reports for past issues, demonstrate employee training records relating to the standard?
Ah, so evidence of it being used.
Exactly. A subtle red flag might be if they can wave the certificate but seem vague about their internal procedures. Or if you walk the factory floor and it just doesn't feel like the organized, process-driven environment that these certifications demand.
Right. The reality needs to match the paperwork.
Precisely. So during your factory qualification, yes, insist on seeing valid up-to-date certificates. But then dig deeper. Ask questions about the practice behind the paper. Verify that foundation before you even start talking about making your specific parts.
Got it. Foundation first. So, okay, we've established that bedrock of trust with verified certifications. But even if you have the perfect partner, if you're not speaking the exact same language, I mean, technically, standard-wise, you're just asking for trouble.
Oh, absolutely. Miscommunication is a huge risk.
I remember this one project way back. Learned this the hard way. I just assumed, oh, they'll know what standard commercial quality means for this type of steel. You know?
Uh-huh. Famous last words sometimes.
It really didn't end well. It taught me just how vital, proactive, explicit communication is. You can't assume anything.
That's such a common and often really costly lesson to learn. The U.S. buyer, you really have to take the lead here. You own the communication.
Okay, so what does that look like in practice?
It means going way beyond vague descriptions. You need to clearly state specific international standards in everything. Your drawings, your RFQs, your purchase orders, your contracts.
Like, give me an example.
Sure. If you need structural steel, don't just write steel. Specify ASTM A36. That's the standard for structural steel in construction. Everyone knows what that means.
Right. Removes the guesswork.
Exactly. For piping in industrial equipment. Maybe ASME B31.1, that's a specific piping code. For machine parts, surface texture is critical, right?
Yep.
So specify ANSI B46.1.
Yep.
Or for general tolerances, maybe ISO 27.68.
Okay, these are globally recognized codes.
Precisely. And for really demanding stuff, aerospace, defense, you might need to call out MIL-STD, military grade specs. This level of detail makes sure everyone is reading from the same engineering playbook. No room for misinterpretation.
And it's not just the standard itself, right?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You must also include the exact testing method you require, the specific acceptance criteria, what constitutes a pass or fail, and even the measurement tools they need to use. Put it all right there in the contract.
So it's not just make it strong. It's make it to ASTM A36, test it using method X, achieve a yield strength between Y and Z, and provide reports showing this.
That level, that exact level, yeah.
Okay. What's the most common mistake you see buyers make here? They think they're being specific, but they actually leave a gap.
Great question. Often it's omitting the acceptance criteria for a cited standard. They'll say ASTM A36, but they won't specify the required range for tensile strength, or the impact test values needed, or the specific limits on chemical composition within that standard.
Ah, so they cite the book, but not the specific chapter and verse.
Kind of, yeah. Or they'll specify a tolerant, say 0.05 millimeter, but they won't define how it must be measured CMM caliper, or what the exact pass-fail limits are for that specific measurement technique. This level of detail, it's paramount. It's about setting truly clear, measurable expectations up front.
Measurable. That's key. It has to be verifiable,
yeah.
Which leads perfectly into documentation, right? Being prescriptive, not just descriptive.
Exactly.
And this definitely extends to the pre-shipment documents you should demand. Absolutely expect. We're talking material certs confirming the raw material.
No certificates, yes.
Traceability, detailed dimensional inspection reports, you know, the documents proving every critical measurement was checked and passed.
Very important. Proof of compliance.
Surface treatment records, if that applies. And specific test results, hardness, tensile strength, whatever you specified.
Whatever is critical for function.
And here's where I think it gets really practical and can save you massive headaches later. Create a detailed checklist, an itemized list for your supplier covering every single piece of documentation they must provide, and demand it before the container leaves the port.
Absolutely. Don't let it ship without the paperwork.
Because this isn't just about collecting paper, you see. It's your concrete assurance. It proves that what you ordered is precisely what they made and are shipping. This proactive step, it minimizes those awful, costly surprises when the parts land at your dock.
Avoids the uh-oh moment when you open the container.
Totally. Saves projects, saves budgets. Okay, let's shift gears slightly and tackle another big one. A question I must have heard 100 times from buyers.
Let me guess. Tolerances. Precision.
You got it. And it's fair, right? Especially when you're dealing with components where things have to fit together perfectly, super tight tolerances. The question is always, are Vietnamese machining tolerances really as precise as U.S. needs demand?
It's a core concern. Precision is often non-negotiable, especially in high tech. And yes, there's often that lingering doubt about offshore capabilities in this specific area.
So what's the real answer?
The real answer, based on what we're seeing consistently now, a resounding yes. Top-tier Vietnamese factories are routinely achieving incredibly high precision, the kind that directly meets, and sometimes exceeds, typical U.S. industry requirements.
Okay, like what kind of numbers are we talking?
In CNC machining, we're commonly seeing tolerances of 0.02 millimeters to 0.05 millimeters.
Oh, okay, put that in perspective for me. 0.02 millimeters is...
tiny, like roughly half the thickness of the human hair.
Okay, that's precise. How are they managing that consistently?
Investment. Massive investment in advanced machinery. We're talking modern three-axis, four-axis, and even sophisticated five-axis CNC machines. These are specifically designed for complex, high-precision parts.
So the same tech you'd find in a top U.S. shop.
Absolutely. They've poured resources into state-of-the-art CNC centers, and crucially, they've invested heavily in metrology deploying CMMs.
Those coordinate measuring machines.
Exactly. Those incredible robotic arms with super accurate probes. They meticulously map out a part's dimensions, ensuring it matches your blueprint down to the micron level.
So the verification tech is there too.
It is. And just as vital as the hardware is the software, the human element. They've meticulously trained their machinists to global standards. It's that potent combination. The right tech and the right skills. That's what's fueled this rapid rise in precision capability.
That's genuinely impressive. It really does shatter that old myth that offshore automatically means sacrificing precision. Sounds like a major leap forward.
It really is.
And just to give you, our listener, an even clearer picture, maybe we can break down some typical tolerance capabilities by process so you know what's realistically achievable.
Good idea. So for CNC milling, as we said, typically the 90.02 to 90.05 millimeter is achievable.
Okay.
With CNC turning, sometimes you can get even tighter, depending on the geometry and material, maybe down to 0.01 to 90.03 millimeter.
Even tighter. Wow. What about sheet metal?
Sheet metal fabrication, things like bending and forming. You're usually looking at around 0.2 to 0.5 millimeter. It depends a lot on the material thickness and the specific method used.
Still pretty good for sheet goods.
Yeah. And laser cutting, very consistent, usually around 0.1 millimeter precision.
Nice. And welding, that seems harder to control.
It is, inherently. But with good jigs and fixtures to hold the parts accurately during the process, they can usually control welding tolerances to within 1.0 to 2.0 millimeter for overall assembly dimensions.
Okay, so those numbers paint a clear picture. The capabilities aren't just theoretical claims. They are consistently achievable realities in good Vietnamese factories.
Absolutely. The capability is unequivocally there. But, and this is a big but, this raises that crucial question again. How clear are you, the buyer, in communicating your exact precision needs?
Right. Just saying make it precise isn't enough.
Not even close. You can't just say tight tolerance or precision part. You need to define the exact tolerance zone for every single critical feature on your drawing.
Specify which dimensions are truly critical versus maybe less critical.
Yes. Identify the critical to function dimensions. Specify any particular surface finish requirements. RABA values, for example. Is it a mirror finish? Does it need a specific texture?
And even how to measure it.
Yes. Specify the measurement tools. Should they use a CMM for this feature? Is a caliper okay for that one? Maybe you need a profilometer for surface finish, or even a microscope for checking micro features or deburring. The clearer, the more detailed you are, the better the outcome. It's truly a partnership to achieve precision.
That's a fantastic takeaway. The capability exists, definitely. But your role in defining those requirements with absolute clarity, that's paramount. You're essentially the architect of the precision you receive.
Well put. You guide the process.
Okay, so we've covered certified partners, crystal clear communication, incredible precision capabilities. Now let's talk about that final layer, the non-negotiable safety net. Inspections. Here's something I learned the hard way, and I won't forget it. If you skip inspections, you're not just taking a calculated risk. You are basically running your entire sourcing operation on hope.
Which is never a good business strategy.
No, hope is not a strategy. Inspections are your absolutely vital last line of defense.
You're hitting on a point that honestly cannot be overstated. Smart buyers ensure quality by scheduling inspections. Not just at the end either, both mid-production and pre-shipment.
Why both?
Mid-production catches problems early, before you've made thousands of bad parts. Pre-shipment confirms the final batch meets all specs before it gets on a boat. These aren't just quick glances either.
Right, they're thorough.
Yes, comprehensive checks, often involving those precise CMMs, again, for dimensional verification, surface roughness tests, hardness tests, tensile tests if needed. And if your part is super critical, you might even demand 100% inspection on key features.
Wow, 100%, okay.
And what's often overlooked, or maybe buyers aren't aware, is that Vietnam has a really robust, well-developed network of third-party inspection companies and testing labs.
So you don't have to rely solely on the factory's internal QC?
Absolutely not. You can hire independent experts. You'll find the big global names there, SGS, TUV, Rhineland, Intertech. They're all active in Vietnam. Plus, there are specialized engineering-based inspection services available too. They offer that crucial, unbiased external verification.
That's a huge comfort level boost, knowing those independent expert eyes are readily available right there. Can you maybe walk us through the typical inspection stages within a good factory, the ones that really help catch problems early and prevent them from escalating? And maybe, what's a nightmare you've seen when a stage got skipped?
Sure. It ideally starts right at the beginning with incoming QC quality control on raw materials.
Before they even start making anything.
Exactly. Yep. Verifying the materials before they hit the production line. They might use a spectrometer, for instance.
What's that do?
It's a device that analyzes the chemical composition of the metal, basically confirming it's the exact grade and spec you ordered. Skipping this, nightmare scenario. You manufacture an entire batch, thousands of parts, using the wrong grade of steel or aluminum. Hugely expensive mistake.
Ouch. Okay, so incoming QC is vital. What's next?
Then you have in-process QC, or IPQC. This happens during manufacturing. Operators and QC staff perform checks at various steps to catch and prevent defects early. You'll see IPQC reports, operator check sheets.
So catching things before they get buried in the next step.
Precisely. Missing this, small errors can compound. A slightly off dimension early on might make subsequent operations impossible or lead to a major defect down the line that's hard or impossible to fix.
Makes sense. Catch it quick.
Then naturally you have final QC or FQC. This happens after manufacturing is complete, but before parts are packaged. It's the factory's final internal check, using tools like CMMs, hardness testers, visual checks, etc., to confirm the finished product quality.
And then comes the one the buyer often gets involved in.
Yeah, right. The pre-shipment inspection, or PSI. This is typically customer-specific.
Yeah.
It might be done by the buyer themselves, their agent, or that third-party inspector we talked about. It often uses AQL sampling.
Equal acceptance quality limit.
Exactly. It's a statistical sampling method.
Yeah.
It lets you inspect a representative sample of the batch and make a statistically valid decision about accepting or rejecting the entire lot without having to look at every single piece. It balances risk and inspection cost efficiently.
And skipping that PSI.
Skipping the PSI, that's the ultimate gamble. The nightmare is an entire container filled with faulty parts arriving at your facility. The cost, the delays, the damage to your production schedule, your customer relationships. It can be catastrophic.
Wow. Yeah, that's a stark reminder of potential consequences. So, okay, for those really critical parts, the ones where failure is absolutely not an option, what specific advice do you have? How can a buyer maximize the effectiveness of that pre-shipment inspection? Go the extra mile.
For critical parts, yeah, you definitely go the extra mile. It's non-negotiable. We often recommend using a stricter AQL level, maybe AQL 1.0 or even tighter, especially if failure modes involve safety or major financial loss.
Tighter sampling means higher confidence.
Much higher. Also, it's incredibly valuable to request detailed video and photographic documentation of the entire inspection process. Not just the results, but the process itself.
Why? Transparency. Proof.
Both. It provides transparency into how the inspection was conducted and gives you an undeniable visual record. And don't forget, add specific tests for any unique or critical features your product has.
Like what?
Like if it has a special coating, demand coating thickness measurements using the right kind of gauge. If precise threads are critical for assembly, insist on specific thread gauge checks, gonna-go gauges, for instance, to guarantee perfect fitment. Think about what really matters for your part's function.
Got it. Tailor the inspection to the critical features.
Exactly. If you connect this to the bigger picture, inspections aren't just a final checkbox.
Mm.
They are an absolutely integral part of your overall risk management strategy for your entire supply chain.
Right. They protect your investment.
Your reputation.
And ultimately, your peace of mind, knowing you're getting what you expect.
Precisely.
And that really hammers home that powerful metaphor we found in our source material. Inspections are your last line of defense. Skipping them is like running a factory on faith.
It really says it all, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. It just underscores their vital role. It's not about lacking trust. It's just smart, responsible business practice, protecting your investment, ensuring quality every single time.
Couldn't agree more.
So wrapping this all up,
yeah.
What does this really mean for you, our listener, who's maybe considering Vietnam or already sourcing there?
I think the big takeaway is that those old narratives, they're shifting.
Definitely evolving. Vietnamese factories can absolutely meet and, like we said, often exceed demanding U.S. standards for custom metal parts. We've seen the quality systems are there, the precision tech is cutting edge, the commitment is real.
The potential is undeniable.
And it's a crucial, but remember those three pillars we kept coming back to, those keys to unlocking that potential.
Let's recap them.
One, work only with certified, verified partners. Do your homework upfront.
Foundation first.
Two, define your specifications with absolute crystal clarity. Leave zero room for interpretation, down to the last detail.
Be prescriptive, not vague.
And three, never, ever, ever skip those crucial inspection stages. Mid-process, pre-shipment, use third
Your
parties.
safety net, non-negotiable.
By following these proactive steps, you're not just, blindly outsourcing production. You're actively building a foundation for consistent, high-quality results, even from halfway around the world.
It's about taking control of the quality process.
Exactly. It puts you in the driver's seat.
And this deep dive, I really hope, has shown that quality control when sourcing from Vietnam isn't just a passive hope or a roll of the dice. It's an active, manageable process that you can influence and verify. Which leads me to a final question, maybe something to you to think about after this. How does understanding these proactive, hands-on steps, the certifications, the specs, the inspections, how does that empower you? How does it change how you think about building truly resilient, high quality, maybe even more innovative global supply chains, regardless of what you're manufacturing?
That's a great question.
What further possibilities open up for your business when you realize the profound level of control you actually can have over quality, even thousands of miles away? How does that transform what might have seemed like a risk into a potential strategic advantage, something to definitely mull over for your next big sourcing project?